Think of the words, "Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child?" And she answered, "It is well." So the words especially there, "Is it well with thee?" What I'd like us to do for just a little while tonight at the close of the gospel service is to think of some questions. Let me emphasize to you at the beginning that these are not my questions. They're not questions asked by men or asked by any religion. What I want to impress upon all of your hearts, and I pray the Lord will enable you to see it clearly, is that these are God's questions. They're biblical questions, every one of them taken from the pages of the Word of God. We can describe them like this. These are questions that God himself would ask of all of us as we're gathered here in this house this Sabbath night. You will know that when you seek to witness to people, often people ask all sorts of questions about the Bible, all sorts of questions about God and about the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the great difference with the questions that we're going to consider tonight is that these are questions that God asks of you. These are God's questions, men and women. And they're questions that are very appropriate for this time of the year. As one year ends, another year begins, we're especially conscious, we especially think about the passing of time and how quickly time is passing us by. So these are questions that are very appropriate for the beginning of a new year. These are what we could describe as searching or pointed questions. What that means is they are questions that will make you stop, questions that will make you think, questions that will make you consider the things of God, the matters relating to your soul. And I pray, men and women, that that will be so tonight. What we're going to do, as time will allow, is we'll bring several such questions together just for a moment or two. Let me say this to you. You think of a teacher in the classroom. One of the methods of teaching is by asking children questions. Whenever a teacher asks a child or a student a question, it's generally not because the teacher doesn't know the answer. The teacher asks the question because they want to see if the child or the young person knows the answer to the question. And can I say to you tonight, it's the same with the Lord. He asks these questions, and there are many questions that are found within the pages of God's Word. And any question that God asks of us, it's not because he doesn't know the answer. Remember, he's omniscient. No limits to his knowledge. The reason the Lord asks these questions is because he wants you to think, you to consider these matters. What he wants to do is to find out if you know the answer to the question that has been posed. So here, men and women, are some searching questions. The first of them is here, 2 Kings 4:26, the question of Elisha through Gehazi to the Shunammite woman, "Is it well with thee?" We could describe that as a question of condition. And I want to say to you tonight, men and women, think of your condition as you sit in this meeting and consider well this question. Is it well? Is it well with thee? Can I make it clear that we're not asking tonight, is it well with you financially? Or is it well with you physically, as far as your health is concerned? We're not asking you, is it well with your business, with your employment, with your career prospects? All of those things are important. All of them have their place. What I want you to understand is that this question is concerned with the spiritual, not with the temporal. You think of the context of the passage. The child has died. She's asked the question, is it well with the child? You know, men and women, there's only one way. Only one way it can be well with any person when they're dead in the light of eternity. And that is if it's well with their soul. Well with their soul in the light of eternity. So I want you to think of that tonight, and I want to ask you, is it well with you spiritually tonight as you begin another year? Is it well with you before God? Is it well with you in the light of eternity? Can you say this evening, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that it's well with your soul? You think of Spafford's great hymn that we often sing, it is well with my soul. When you sing those words, can you sing them in truth? Is that your condition? Is that your experience? Let me make it clear that it can't be well with you if you're separated from God by your sins, if you're far away from the Lord. It can't be well with you tonight if you're not saved, if you're still on the road to hell, if you're still on the broad road that leads to destruction, leads to a lost eternity. If that is your condition this evening, it is not well with your soul. And don't you fool yourself into the thinking that it is. Just take a moment to consider, what is your spiritual condition tonight? Is it one of fear? Fear of death? Fear of eternity? Fear of what's beyond the grave? Paul in the book of Hebrews speaks of those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Maybe those words are a description of you. Your condition tonight is one of fear. Can I say to you, if you're not saved, you do well to be afraid of death and eternity and what is beyond the grave. Maybe your condition tonight is one of conviction of sin. Remember, that's the work of the Spirit. The Savior said of the Holy Ghost, He will reprove of sin. Maybe that's what's happening in your life. The book of Genesis says, My Spirit shall not always strive with man. We pray the Spirit of God might strive in hearts in this gospel service tonight. Could it be, men and women, that's what's happening, that's your condition? You have no rest, no peace. Maybe you can't sleep. Troubled about your life. Troubled about your sin, your wrongdoing. Your past is caught up with you. Can't get away with it, or can't get away from it. Your sin has found you out. Remember Felix? In the Bible, the Scriptures tell us that he trembled. The reason he trembled was under conviction of sin. There's a man in Mullaglass came to Christ during our time there in one of the gospel missions. You know, for maybe 3 or 4 months before that, the family knew things weren't right with him, but they thought he was ill. They thought there was something wrong with him physically. But what was happening was the Spirit of God was at work in his heart and in his life. So this is your condition tonight, men and women. We want you to know it's not well. Not well with you spiritually, not well with your soul. And you need to be saved as another year begins. Another year of your life is over. Another year nearer eternity. You need to get right with God. Need to repent of your sin. Believe the gospel. Come and put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Is it well with thee? Question of condition. Think of another question found in the Scriptures. The question of old Barzillai. How long have I to live? Isn't that a natural question to follow on with? That, men and women, is a question of preparation. How long have I to live? We speak of this world as the land of the living. But you know, the reality is this world is the land of the dying. And we're reminded of that constantly. Life is an unceasing march to the grave. And as the Word of God says, there is no discharge in that war. As the old gospel hymn tells us, we're going down the valley one by one with our faces towards the setting of the sun. It is a paradox, I know, but it's true nonetheless. The moment we're born, the moment we begin to live, at that very moment we also begin to die. Man is a dying creature. And in the light of that, men and women, there's no better question that you could ask than the question of that old man, Barzillai. How long have I to live? You ever thought of that? Ever asked that question? Could it be there's some in the meeting tonight? You've lived 20, 30, 40, 50 years and more. You've seen much of life. You've experienced and witnessed much of death. But you've never made this inquiry yourself. How long have I had to live? How long will it be till your life is over? How long will it be until you die, taken from this scene of time? How long will it be, men and women, until your funeral takes place? I want to urge you to ask that question in the gospel service tonight. And the answer to the question, men and women, is this. You don't know. You don't know how long you've left to live. At best, it's not long. Do you remember old Isaac? He said, I know not the day of my death. And that's the great dilemma that each one of us are faced with. We just don't know how long or how short a time we still have left to be here upon this earth. And the warning, men and women, is this. You need to be ready. That's why this is a question of preparation. You need to be ready for death. You need to be ready for eternity. Is that something we're often told about, spoken about, often exhorted to in the scriptures? The Savior said, be ye also ready. You remember the words of Amos the prophet? Prepare to meet thy God. You need to prepare for death and eternity by coming to Christ. Do you remember the words of Isaiah that he spoke to the great King Hezekiah? Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. It's an exhortation, men and women, to prepare for death and eternity. So I want to say to you tonight, don't trifle. Don't trifle with your soul. Don't trifle with the matter of salvation. The reality is this, there is nothing more important in this world than knowing Christ as your Savior. Billy Bray, the great Cornish preacher, what a man he was, what a work he did for God. Before he became a preacher, he was a tin miner. One morning he was standing at the head of the shaft. All his friends, neighbours, colleagues were gathering for work that day to go down the shaft. He recognised the danger. He realised if there was an explosion, and they often happened in those days. He looked around that gathering of men and realised that most of them were unconverted men. Didn't know the Lord. No hope for eternity. It weighed upon his heart. And as he stood there that day, he prayed this prayer. Listen carefully. He said, Lord, if anybody has to die today, let it be me. Because I'm ready. Can you pray that tonight, men and women? As you sit in the meeting. If anybody in this gathering had to die tonight, can you say you're ready? Ready for death? Ready to meet the Lord? Listen carefully to this little verse. You don't have to be old to die. And you don't have to be sick to die. But you do have to be ready to die. And that's what we want to exhort you to tonight. And the fact is, you need to be ready today. Because today is the only day that any of us is sure of. No guarantee of tomorrow. You know not what shall be in tomorrow. Oh, we've all plans. We all have things prepared, places we intend to be tomorrow. But the fact is, tomorrow for you could be eternity. Remember what Paul said, coming near the end of his days? I am now ready. Not that I intend to be. It's not the thinking of many unconverted people. Oh yes, I know I need to be saved, and I plan to be, I intend to be. Paul could say, I am now ready. And I want to impress that in your hearts tonight, that all can say that in this meeting before you go from the service tonight. How long have I to live? Let me ask you to think of another question. Over in the New Testament scriptures, whither goest thou? So is it well with thee tonight? How long have I to live? And now think of, where are you going? Whither goest thou? That, men and women, is a question of destination. Remember, those were the words of the Savior. The shadow of the cross was hanging over him. He rebuked his disciples. He said unto them, none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? Can I say to you tonight, men and women, when you come to die, come to the end of your life, your days in this earth, the most important question is, where are you going? Where are you going in eternity. You know, sometimes there in the evening, remember the family's going out. You maybe hadn't been talking to them, didn't know their plans, their intentions. You might say to them, might make the inquiry, where are you going? You're concerned. The desire to know. Well, men and women, if it's important to know where somebody's going when they leave the house, how much more important is it to know where they're going when they come to leave this life and come to leave this world? So I put it to you this evening. Where are you going? What will be your destination in eternity? I read of a gravestone in a cemetery just outside the city of London. It had these words engraved upon it. Stop and think. I'm in eternity, and you're on the brink. And that's how it is tonight, men and women. All of us here to know many who are in eternity. But remember where you stand. You stand on the very brink. You stand on the very edge of eternity. And you need to consider tonight seriously, earnestly, where are you going? And the scriptures tell us there's only two alternatives. You're either going to heaven to be with Christ, or to hell to be without him. Whenever we were in South Wales, we were speaking at 11 school assemblies at that time. It was great ministry, great opportunity, maybe some 3,000 school children. In the local school beside Burryport was a little village of Pembrey. We lived at it in the final years of our time there. Our children went to the Pembrey Primary School. I was able to go into the assembly. The vice principal was a lady that had been brought up in the Brethren, knew the gospel from her childhood, but wasn't converted herself. But because of her upbringing, she taught the children Bible stories. She was teaching the little ones, maybe in P2, P3. Do you know what happened? As she taught those children the Bible stories, they started to ask her all sorts of questions about the Bible, the gospel, the things of God. Questions that she never expected and never anticipated. She told me about it one day, asked for a little bit of guidance as to what she should say. Here's one of the questions those little children asked her. Miss, if you don't go to heaven when you die, where do you go? It was not a good question, just for little primary school children. Children take in much more. Children think much clearer, you know, than we imagine, we give them credit for. So just think of that tonight, men and women. If you don't go to heaven when you die, where do you go? And the answer, men and women of the Word of God tonight, is you go to hell. You go to a lost eternity. Men speak, men teach about places like purgatory and soul sleep and annihilation. But I want you to know tonight that God speaks of and God teaches of no such places, no such conditions in His Word. There's only two destinations in eternity. And the question for you tonight is, which will it be? Can I say to the unsaved in the meeting that you're on the road to hell now? I pray the Lord might write that upon your heart as never before. That's a fearful condition, men and women. At this very moment, you're on the road to a lost eternity. If you died now as you are, you'd be lost. And you'd be lost forever. So think carefully at the question, whither goest thou? We generally frame that question in a different way. Where will you spend eternity? When they built the church hall in Bull of Glass, the committee was considering the text they would put up within it, but they were very desirous to put some text outside as well. You will know as you go past in the gable end there, they have those words. Eternity where? You know, the Lord has used that question. This young fella, a mechanic that worked for Burks of Cornescree, just outside Portadown, coming down to this Mourne country. 3 days, he was brought up in a Christian home, didn't know the Lord. Coming down here to do a bit of mechanicing on a tractor. Every day going down past the church hall, he saw the question every day going home. And the Lord spoke to him, challenged him. One night he called his father into the bedroom, and his own dad had the joy of leading him to the Savior. So I want you to consider that tonight, men and women. Eternity. Need to think about eternity. Don't be completely taken up with time. Think tonight about eternity. And eternity, where? Where will you be? Where are you going in eternity? The famous Rabbi Duncan, he was the missionary to the Jewish people. Great famous Scottish Presbyterian minister. He taught Hebrew to the students in the Bible College in Edinburgh. On New Year's Day, he met some of the Bible College students. They were very respectful, took off their hat. They wished their esteemed professor a very happy new year. As quick as a flash, Dr. Duncan took his hat off in response. He said, "A happy eternity, gentlemen." Isn't that infinitely more important, men and women? A happy eternity. And remember, that can only be so if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. So whither goest thou? One other question, just quickly. The question of Pontius Pilate, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? That, men and women, is a question of decision, often described as life's greatest question. There's not a doubt about that. This is definitely the vital, the all-important question of life. Why is that? Well, remember that you're not been asked to consider what you'll do with a preacher. You're not been asked to consider what you'll do with any religious leader, any church, any denomination. You've been asked tonight to consider what you'll do with the Lord Jesus, the one who is the only Savior. Neither is there salvation in any other. None other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. The question tonight is asking you what you'll do with the Lord Jesus. What you'll do with the only one who can save your soul, forgive your sins. And notice, it's a personal question. What shall I do then with Jesus? Do you remember that Pilate sent the Lord Jesus to Herod? Do you know the reason he did that? Pilate didn't want to answer the question. He didn't want to make the decision. He wanted Herod to make the decision for him. Can I say to you tonight, men and women, there's no one else that can decide for you as far as Jesus Christ is concerned. You can't pass, you can't delegate the responsibility. It's a personal decision. So what will you do tonight? Will you either accept him or reject him? You'll either confess him or deny him. You'll either receive him by faith as your Savior, or you'll refuse his offer of salvation. And the question, men and women, is, which will it be? Remember, you can't be neutral. Pilate tried that. He wanted to wash his hands of the whole matter, wanted to wash his hands of the Savior. Maybe you have tried to do the same. You say, "I'm not for him, but neither am I against him." You want to be neutral. But you can't, men and women. You can't wash your hands of this issue. The Bible says, if you're not with Christ, then you're against him. And can I remind you that what you do with the Savior, that will ultimately determine what he will do with you on that great day of judgment, that great day when you stand before him. So let me ask you, what is your decision at the close of the meeting, at the close of this another Sabbath day? What will you do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? So here are some searching questions, men and women. Is it well with thee? How long have I to live? Whither goest thou? What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Let me ask you in conclusion, as you think of those questions, how do you answer? How do you answer the Lord tonight? What is your response?